On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! And indeed, this program is live. This is The Horn. 2 minutes past 6 p.m. in the Eastern Standard Time Zone. Cold and going to get a lot colder here in the hills and hollers of almost level West by Cold, Virginia. Stan? Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. And yes, like I said, the fifth day of January, 2015. Ha-ha, got it right, is what this is. And I know some of you may be surprised to actually hear this, but I'm here. You may be surprised because thank you, Jeremy, in Vermont. Thank you very kindly, loud and clear on TuneIn. Appreciate it. You may be surprised to hear me because I had said that I was entertaining. I was past entertaining. I was pretty well convinced I was going to do it. Go over to the Board of Education meeting this evening, to which I had been invited, for the purpose of addressing said board in regard to their notion that what the school children of Fayette County, West Virginia, need is a moment of silence at the beginning of every class day. And that if the youngins decided to turn that into an opportunity to pray, that no teacher would discourage nor encourage prayer. It's stupid. It is manifestly stupid. It is inestimably stupid. It is unutterably stupid. It is inexpressibly stupid. It is stupid, 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 stupid. Stupid. And that is without recourse or reference to any religion whatsoever. It's stupid because, and I don't want to put too fine a point on this, this is a county school system that is not exactly awash in cash. When kids want to do extra things, we send our little 6-year-old children out trying to hustle jars of salsa and cakes and cookies and coffees and crap door to door in a community that's broker in the Ten Commandments and poor as Job's turkey. This is a failed school system, and the Board of Education can't think of anything but, you know what, maybe if the chairman was praying. Because that's all it is a manifestation of prayer hiding behind a moment of silence. But no, they'll do this. And nothing I would have said would have changed their minds. And then they'll get sued, hopefully, and the case will be resolved. And in the process of getting sued, these fools, for fools they are, these fools will waste tens of thousands of dollars, mine and others, defending a lawsuit that never need have been filed in the first place had they just not done what they're going to do this evening. the people on the Board of Education voting in favor of this deserve to be removed from office. Again, not because I oppose religious practice, because I oppose standing around and lighting $100 bills to watch them burn. You get the idea. So that's why I was going over there. I am a strong and zealous defender of the rights of freedom of religion in this country, but I think that freedom of religion extends in this country to not being told by teacher when to be silent so somebody else can address their God. Or gods, or goddesses, or demiurges, or diamonds, or what have you, or nothing. I would oppose this if atheists were proposing a moment of silence for the purpose of acknowledging the nothingness of silence. Because in the end, it winds up being a violation of the First Amendment. But I'm not there, am I? No, I'm not. I'm right here behind the microphone. I'm right here in the official bubble-off plum, appropriate, horn broadcasting chair that has served us in yeoman good stead for about 9 years. And you know, it's classic that the chair that I sit in to broadcast, the wheels have come off. It's not a joke. There's only so many years of taking my pendulous bulk that a chair can stand. And apparently, a while back, this chair decided it couldn't stand any more of my 240 pounds. And first, the one caster collapsed and kind of taped and glued that back on. And then the next one went. So we got two on, two off. But yes. Even on the broadcast chair, the wheels are coming off. Note coming in from News Ninja Carol Baker, I'm a strong defender of religion, freedom of religion, as I'm a strong defender of freedom from religion. It's a two-sided coin. Can't have one without the other. Want to pray? Go to the fucking church. See? Exactly. Or temple, or synagogue, or mosque, or big rock sitting up somewhere. You ever notice that, and this is just generally with regard to the practice of various religions, nobody ever goes into the low places to pray. They go to the high places. Yeah. Exactly. I mentioned a minute ago, headonradionetwork.com is our home, because you never know when a noob's going to be listening. Welcome, young, new potential Horn Family Commune congregation member. Come right in. You're more than welcome. You will be there as long as you're not a right-wing asshat. You'll find friends here. Right-wingers, by the way, are not allowed. Leave. Yes. At headonradionetwork.com, you'll find access, among other things, to the chat room, which is where that message from Carol Baker just came from, as is the message from Jeremy in Vermont that it's 18 there with strong wind and feels like minus 50. Oh, I can't wait, because, you know, that's what's coming. Yeah. But in the chat room, you'll find wonderful people like Anatole and News Ninja Carol Baker and Carol Abel. That's Carol in Australia. As well as Devin and Dwayne and Gerald and Jeremy and Jug of Punch and Tim from L.A. and our inveterate, indefatigable veteran moderator of the chat room and the Horn Malloy Skype chat group, Sparky. And you, too, can be a part of that number. Oh, I want to be in that number when the chatters go chatting in. Yeah, it doesn't work. Losing feeling in my toes. God, that jingle stuck in my head. I will never, I would not buy asteroid insurance from Nationwide Insurance for sticking that stupid jingle in my head. Singing QBs make me puke. So if you want to, it's real easy. Just go to headonradionetwork.com, click chat room, pick yourself out a screen name, and a password, and away you go. Be real easy. And we welcome first timers, and it's a full on real time multimedia extravaganza. Of course, for those of you listening on a mobile or desiring to listen on a mobile or smart device, we recommend the apps from Stitcher and TuneIn and Ootunes. And one of our New Year's resolutions here at the Horn is to get come up with, and in fact our buddy Tosh mentioned him, maybe someday we'd like to come up with a Horn app for the App Store and Android devices. Wouldn't that be nice? Then you'd know that you would never have to have an ad for Exxon Mobil come across your stream or your screen as you're listening. That'd be lovely. As it is, a general caveat, if you are listening on one of those apps, Stitcher or TuneIn or whatever, and you see an ad for some obnoxious corporation that you want nothing to do with, please understand that none of that supports the Horn. We do not get a nickel from TuneIn or Stitcher. We just give them the programming for free, like we do with everybody else. Why should we treat a company any different than a human being? I mean, they're all persons, right? Because everything at the Horn is free. The stream's free. The podcasts are free. The 24/7 stream, as long as I can keep it running, is free. And the live program is free. The way we keep it all going is by listener contributions. And I want to thank Brother Asa out in Vancouver for getting us started this evening. And I want to thank Grant for his subscription that came in earlier this evening. That means we have only $120 in fundraising to go this evening to get us to where we need to be for any given evening of broadcasting. We try to raise $150 a night. So if you'd like to jump in there side by side, shoulder to shoulder with Brother Asa, Brother Asa would love the company. Now, yes, it is Monday. It is the fifth day of January 2015, and I guess I should put the denouement. I get a little congested this time of year, and it makes speaking French ever so much easier. Denouement. I put the denouement on the Bob goes to tell him what's what over to the school board story. So I mentioned to Agnes what I was going to do, and all Agnes said was, well, you know how I feel about that. And I said, how is it that you feel about that? Because, no, I am not a mind reader like you, dear. I don't know. I need to be told things. I can't just stare fixedly at you and receive your thoughts into my brain. I'm not like them big-headed aliens from the menagerie in Star Trek, and there, of course, is our first Star Trek, obligatory Star Trek reference of the evening. So she did tell me. She said, I would prefer that you don't. And in a way, she echoes something that our friend Gerald in the chat room mentioned, and something that our friend Robert in Morgantown mentioned. Robert sending a message via Skype earlier in the evening. Concerning your school board issue, do you really think they'll pay any attention to your comments? I figure they've already made up their minds on the issue. Don't waste your time with what is just a formality. And that is similar to something that Gerald said. And a lot of you, to your credit, said, go Bob, go. And I appreciate that. I appreciate the, I hate to say faith, but I appreciate the confidence that you display. But in the end, I listened to Agnes. Carol noting, don't be talking to Agnes like that. There be sharks in them waters, son. With sharp, nasty teeth, I tell yous. It's true. And so she said, I prefer that you know. And I said, okay, well, I'm all right with that, and I respect what you say, but can I have a reason? And put most succinctly, the reason was this: I would like for the Christians not to burn our house down. And when it's put in that form, no, Blake and Madison, you may not have a moment of silence in the chat room. The chat room is nothing but silence. We don't have sound effects in there. Oh, Blake must be freezing and feeling a little froggy. I'd love it. Can we get a moment of silence in the chat room? No. Everyone stop typing so I can pray. Followed by followed by Jay Cruz and typing in tongues. That's either cat typing or typing in tongues. I haven't sorted it out yet. But, you know, when it's put that succinctly, as Agnes did, Bob, I would like for the Christians not to burn our house down. It's hard to say, no, I must go and perform an utterly futile and futile act. Okay, and Gerald said, I see that you have decided not to get angry this evening by going to the school board meeting. And to be fair, I would have had a great story to tell, for Titanic Tuesday, because surely, and I know, don't call you Shirley, I know, surely I would have come away with a story of people talking about how there's going to be an asteroid hit the planet because the atheists done took prayer out of the stews. I mean, they're probably saying that even right now as I speak. But it was not to be. Far better that I listened to my extremely sensible spouse and not go, so that the Christians won't burn our house down. Because the followers of the Prince of Peace around here, well, they're like that. You don't love Jesus, the Prince of Peace, and who forgives everybody all their sins? You don't? Oh, I'm going to burn your house down! Yeah, really. It's precious when I'm standing in line down at the Rippy Mart, and somebody will say, they'll look at me, well, have you accepted Jesus as your personal Savior? And I look at him, and I don't. And instead of saying, well, no, or I'm a Zoroastrian, or you're kidding, right? You still believe that? Like Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny? And they take two steps back like they're waiting for the lightning bolt. So I'm here, you're there, and the freaks at the school board are going to do what school board freaks do. Because they are, and this is an introduction, because it's not like I've forgotten what day it is.
You've got to remember that these are just simple farmers. These are people of the land. You know, morons.
And there it is, the calendar.
Calliope that opens every Moran Monday on the Horn. Hurry, 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 step right up. It is Moran Monday on the Horn. We've begun with an introduction to Board of Education Morans. And I tell you what, behind this thin cybernetic veil of canvas, you will find Morans beyond your wildest imaginings, beyond your wildest dreams, your wildest fears, your wildest nightmares, beyond anything you could conceive. Behind this thin cybernetic veil of canvas, my friends, you'll find right-wing Morans, birther Morans, deather Morans, tenther Morans, booger-eating Morans, bircher Morans, libertarians, Republican Morans of all variety, and even a few who don't fall into any of those categories at all. Yes, indeed, yes, indeed. For less than 5 cents per hour of programming, friends and neighbors, you can be part of Moran Monday. You can be part of, well, this experience. You can't tell the Morans without a program, and this is the program that tells the Morans. You just can't tell them much. As usual, the same advisory applies in every little town we stop by with this here cybernetic veil of canvas. When going into the Moran Monday tent, we recommend that you hang on to bags, packs, purses, small children, dogs, anything that your own skin, if need be, because the Morans can get grabby. Head for the hills, or you'll be up to your armpits in Morans. Oh. Yep, it is. It's Moran Monday on the Horn, and I admit there's I'm glad to be here. I live for Moran Monday. 2 days of no broadcasting over the weekend, and the Morans start piling up around here like cordwood. And with the temperatures being the way they are, I kind of wish they were cordwood, because, well, we'd throw them right in the wood-burning stove that we don't have. It's gonna get cold, and I'm gonna hate it. Yeah. Thank you very kindly to Gerald, who jumped in to stand side by side and shoulder to shoulder with Asa. We now have and Grant. So that means, oh my goodness, only $120 to go to finish off fundraising for the evening. That's exciting and inspiring. A question coming in from, and a comment from Jack in Shreveport. Jack begins by asking, did the chair first start decaying with that one wobbler caster like grocery store carts usually have? Yes, yes, and in fact, that is referred to from back when he was funny and we didn't know he was a serial rapist. That was referred to by Bill Cosby as the woogity woogity wheel. And it started with a woogity woogity wheel, woogity 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 woogity. And without fail, I get them in the grocery store, and apparently I bought one, too. Yeah, Kincaid's corollary to Murphy's Law. Anything that can go wrong will go wrong at the worst possible moment. And in addition, if there is a jakey, broke-down, junked-up piece of crap out there masquerading as new and untouched, a Kincaid will purchase it. Yes, Jack adding, Bob, my initial tendency was to say give some pushback against these people, even though it wouldn't really do anything when you're standing alone. At least it might make you feel better. But after hearing Agnes's comments, I have to go with her. See how easy it is? Yes. Bob, don't go over there. I would like for the Christians not to burn our house down. And it's not, you know, I'd like for them not to burn it down in the dead of winter, although that, because there's really just not a good time to have the Christians burn your house down, now is there? No. Meanwhile, a note coming in from Ron and Raleigh. You'll be glad to know, Bob, that the St. Paul, Minnesota school system decided that they will close public schools when the temperature dips to less than a balmy 40 degrees below zero. Oh, to be a school kid standing at the bus stop in the wee hours of the morning in Minnesota. Temperatures like that are unfathomable to me. And they will, I suppose, for the foreseeable future, remain unfathomable. Because the bone-chilling stuff that happens here, I mean, sopping wet in 36 here is miserable. It's going to get even more nasty in the next couple of nights. I mean, Wednesday night, when we get down to zero and the wind is howling and it feels like I don't have any more walls, it's going to suck a lot. Michael in Madison. Can't get anything past him. Quote, small children, dogs. I see what you did there, Carney. Looked up at her retired jersey hanging from the rafters and saluted. Meaning, of course, it is Moran Monday. And, of course, Godzilla from Wazilla, Caribou Barbie, the half-baked half-term governor, the half-baked Alaskan, or, as I've taken to referring to her lately, Mama Dizzily, is in hot water. And I think we mentioned this on Friday on the front porch because, well, yeah, because of the business of her letting her six-year-old special needs child use the family Labrador Retriever for a footstool. I just think it's kind of mean to treat the smartest member of their family that way. But yes, I did. Michael. I glanced up toward her retired jersey hanging from the ceiling here in the, because she don't count. But we got a lot of material to work with this evening. And in point of fact, we can stay right here in almost level West by Cole, Virginia, Stan, for our first Moran Monday adventure. And this is one that kind of slipped under the radar, but it certainly bears mentioning. Ryan Quinn had the story over at the Charleston Gazette, which is located online, not at charlestongazette.com, no, but at wvgazette.com. Ryan reporting, at the request of a West Virginia Board of Education member who said he doesn't believe human-influenced climate change is a foregone conclusion, new state science standards on the topic were altered before the state school board adopted them. Well, isn't that just charming? Yeah. School officials said the changes are meant to encourage more student debate. Remember, teach the controversy? It's here. On the idea that humans' greenhouse gas emissions are causing a global rise in temperatures, a theory that an overwhelming majority of scientists accept. No, majority accepts. They've got it. Earlier this month, and just let this sink in. Earlier this month, the state school board adopted the new education requirements based on the National Next Generation Science Standards Blueprint with the plan to instruct teachers how to teach them by the 2016-17 school year. The science standards are not part of Common Core. Phew! Thank God, communism ain't got here. Kenyan Muslim socialist communism ain't got here yet. Which contains nationally suggested standards for English and math, but they do have Common Core connections. Oh, my God, see? Embedded and were crafted with aid of the same Washington, D.C. nonprofit group. West Virginia's Common Core standards are also dubbed Next Generation. Robin Sizemore, science coordinator for the State Office of Secondary Learning, said the new science standards will be the first time students will be required to learn about the evidence for human-driven climate change. The current standards only cover them in elective courses. Because, of course, science is an elective on planet Earth. The laws of nature, natural selection, Boyle's gas laws, gravity. It's an elective. It really is. I mean, there's just some people. There's some people on the planet who can live without gravity. News Ninja Carol Baker noting, by the way, Barbie says, "Hi, Barbie," that she'll trade weather with you. It's blowing snow in northeast Iowa right now in near whiteout conditions. She's going to get a high of -7 on Wednesday with wind chills in the -30 range. Only -3 with -20 wind chills in Hooterville, meanwhile. And do you have any idea how cold that would be if we were using that Kenyan Muslim socialist Celsius scale? I don't think you can live in temperatures like Celsius temperatures would be. And down in L.A., Tim with an inquiry asks, -40? Bob, does it get that cold? I can't fathom that. When it's +40 Fahrenheit in Los Angeles, shelters open for the homeless because it's frickin' cold. Hey, Bob, move to L.A. Oh, and my pop, as a kid in Idaho, experienced -60. And that wasn't the wind chill either. I know. But see, that just proves that there's no such thing as human-caused global warming. Mm-hmm. Yes, let us do continue with this, because you'll enjoy it so much. State school board member Wade Linger. Lingering along with the lingering tumbleweeds. No, that's not it, is it? Wade Linger, who is on the state school board, wanted to make a bunch of changes to the state science standards before they were ever given to the entire body to vote on. Wanted several changes to be made to the draft standards before the public was even allowed to comment on them. Linger noted, "There was a question in there that said, ask questions to clarify evidence of the factors that have caused the rise in global temperatures over the past century. If you have that as a standard, then that presupposes that global temperatures have risen over the past century, and of course, there's a debate about that." I guess there is. I think Wade Linger debated that with the family dog, and the family dog won. Old Blue, Mark, if temperatures have gone up over the last century, woof! How about you, Wade? No! You win, Old Blue. So they had to change the wording to satisfy Wade Linger in the sixth grade science standard. And the standard, there was a question. Ask questions to clarify evidence of the factors that have caused the rise in global temperatures over the past century. And now it reads, ask questions to clarify evidence of the factors that have caused the rise and fall in global temperatures over the last century. Because Wade Linger is smarter than all them scientists that say that the Earth is a-heating up in the last 100 years. According to the Consensus Project, in Ryan Quinn's article, more than 4,000 paper abstracts authored by almost 10,200 scientists state a position on human-driven climate change 97% of the time, the position is that humans are contributing to a global rise in temperature. Just not Wade Langer's temperature. Let's see. Let's look in on the ninth grade science requirement. Wade Langer didn't like that one neither. Analyze geoscience data and the results from global climate models to make an evidence-based forecast of the current rate of global or regional climate change and associated future impacts to Earth systems. God damn, I didn't know our ninth graders could read that good. That was kind of a challenge to me. Well, that wasn't good enough for Wade Langer. Once Wade Langer, and how does one person get this much power in the state of West Virginia? Or any state, for that matter. And it's just, this beats cat's fucking. The Wade Langer version now reads, analyze geoscience data and the predictions made by computer climate models to assess their credibility. No, really, credibility. For predicting future impacts on the Earth system. And in where previously it had said impacts to Earth, capital E, systems, little s, it now says future impacts on the capital E, Earth, capital S system. The Earth system. Solar system, Earth system, Milky Way system, Norblap system. Systems. Wade Langer was busy. The high school elective environmental science requirement, remember, it's an elective. You don't have to, your little precious lumpkin child of God does not have to take this here course. Debate climate changes as it relates to greenhouse gases, human changes in atmospheric concentrations of greenhouse gases, and relevant laws and treaties. Here's the Wade Langer version. Debate climate changes as it relates to natural forces such as Milankovitch cycles, greenhouse gases, human changes in atmospheric concentrations of greenhouse gases, and relevant laws and treaties. Milankovitch cycles, Ryan Quinn points out, and most of you probably know anyway, are the wee little itsy-bitsy tiny changes in the orbital pattern of Earth around the sun. Climate change science deniers use the Milankovitch cycles as an explanation for why our climate changes from time to time. You know what blows my mind about these freaks, these frauds, these goobs, these morons? Some of the things that go into the notion of climate change, the idea, the theory of climate change, are not complicated. If, for instance, one gets a mouse in one's house, that mouse will do some mousy things and destroy some stuff. And every now and then you might see a little, you know, mouse gift laying on the floor. If, however, that happens to be a pregnant mommy mouse, soon you will have lots of signs of mouses in your houses. Or consider a martini glass, into which you begin to pour gin, not vodka. Come on, you can't be vodka martini people, please. Into which you begin to pour gin. And rather than stopping at the edge of the martini glass, you keep pouring gin, and the gin just goes everywhere, and you're wasting gin, you idiot moron. Or let's say you like chocolate cake, and you put chocolate cake on a plate, and you keep putting chocolate cake on the plate, and sooner or later your plate's not going to hold all the chocolate cake that you wanted. And no. Climate change. Human, anthropogenic, that is, climate change. If X number of humans contribute X amount of carbon to the climate under one technological system, say pre-industrial, you're absolutely right, Jay Cruzen. Jay Cruzen is right there with me on the gin. You don't. That would be alcohol abuse. Exactly. You're abusing alcohol. You're abusing the gin by pouring it all over the damn countertop. Exactly. No, Steve. Right now they like their Milankovitch cycles. They are not. They haven't gotten to sunspots yet. Ooh, now there's a bumper sunspot baby. But Bob Seger. I don't know. But the more people, and so now in an industrial hydrocarbon-driven population, technology, etc., these people want the planet to exist in such a way that you can have 6 or 8 billion people on the planet, and a few years, you know, have it be 20. And for that to happen, because, you know, human beings just make no impact on the planet. God! But it's not complicated. You get it, right? We get it. The Horn Family Commune Congregation. This is not difficult. Okay, so it's not gin. Make it water. Pour it. And you know what? It's not going to stay in the glass. And let's say your glass of water is sitting next to your open King James Bible. Well, your open King James Bible is going to get all soggy because the water is going to overflow onto it. Right? Yes. You know, I had a fella a week or so ago tell me, he said, you know, I think if they'd called it climate change from the very beginning, we might have bought into it easier instead of this global warming. Because he said, because you know what? Last winter was the coldest damn winter we've had in the longest time, and I didn't feel very warm. And you know what? He wasn't arguing with me. He was agreeing that climate change is real. But he was pointing out something true about it. And that is, it's hard for somebody with a rudimentary, at best, science education, such as me, to get his head around the idea that the planet is warming when my ass is freezing. Yes, indeed, Jay Cruzen. He did say, my cup runneth over. See? So now we're gonna teach children in school about Milankovitch cycles, and trust me, they're not nearly as cool as Harley Davidson cycles, or Buells, or Bugattis, or my personal favorites, BMW cycles. So why is this guy doing it? Jesus? Well, there's probably a little bit of Jesus involved here. No, but in the end, they're trying to sneak political stuff into our science classrooms. But poor Ryan Quinn writes, technically, all theories could be considered unproven. Many, like the theory of gravitation or plate tectonics, are overwhelmingly accepted by both scientists and the public based on a bevy of evidence. Even other publicly controversial ones like evolution are still overwhelmingly accepted by the scientists. Another cat by the name of Tom Campbell, who is a former member of the who is a member of the state school board, Campbell said, "Let's not use unproven theories. Let's stick to the facts." West Virginia. it's unproven science. We don't need to be teaching that to none of our youngins. And then, of course, Cherchez la Carbon. West Virginia coal in particular has been taking on unfair negativity from certain groups. I would prefer that the outlook should be, how do we mine coal more safely and burn it more cleanly? But I think some people just want to do away with it completely. You know who the people are who've done away with coal completely in West Virginia? Coal miners. Yeah, you thought I was going to say Hitler, didn't you? Hey, who had 647? No, the people who've done away with coal completely are coal miners and coal corporations and coal boss and coal barons and shareholders and stockholders and international finance banks. They're the ones who've done away with coal completely, at least around here, because they're the ones who mined all the coal, took it away, turned it into money, and got themselves extremely filthy rich and left us not holding the bag, but holding a handful of shit. By the way, it should be understood, according to Ryan Quinn's article, coal industry provides much money to the state's education system through the payment of taxes. Good God. So, we have doomed. The West Virginia State Board of Education has made an ass of the state again. And I mention this story largely so that I will not be counted in that number. Ah, see, I'm still working with when the states go marching in. I object. I strenuously object. Henceforward, I am playing under protest, which is kind of what I imagine the Detroit Lions felt like saying yesterday down in Dallas when they got effed. Let's see. Let's check in on Clayton Birch, Executive Director of the State Office of Early Learning and Interim Associate State School Superintendent. I don't want somebody to think that Wade Linger sent these in and we just took his words. Senior staff vetted the changes. No, you're making things worse there, Mr. Birch. He said completely removing, adding, or substantially changing standards would have gone against the intent of the 81 stakeholder individuals representing West Virginia organizations, including K-12 schools, colleges, and businesses like Charleston Area Medical Center and Coal Burner Appalachian Power that helped write the requirements. Oh, really? Appalachian Power helped write the requirements. Well, a bed. These stakeholders could have protested the climate change standard changes during the 30-day comment period required before adoption. We can get students arguing both sides of a research piece, which matches our English language arts standards. Think critically, write critically, both sides of the argument, Birch said. He also said students hear information from many other sources outside of textbook nowadays. Our students are now being faced with every Yahoo that decides he wants to jump on the computer and write a blog. I mean, seriously, that's what they're dealing with. Do they know how to critically read and think? And certainly we're going to enhance that by letting a Yahoo change the science standards. Because that's what they did. Here's a fun paragraph. Language similar to the requirement that students question the credibility of computer climate models doesn't appear for every other topic, like evolution, that is scientifically uncontroversial but potentially controversial with the public. For instance, one objective will ask 10th graders to directly communicate scientific information that common ancestry and biological evolution are supported by multiple lines of empirical evidence. Oh, Ryan Quinn, you had to put that in there, didn't you? Don't smarten up the chumps. Now they'll be marching with their posters saying my grandma weren't no monkey out in front of the, oh, Jesus. But students are nowhere asked to question whether carbon dating is a viable method of measuring the age of rocks containing fossils. Maybe that's... No, really? You must kick furniture, you don't carbon date rocks! You carbon date organic materials. And it's only good going so far back in time because the isotope for which one tests in carbon dating is only, it degrades completely. Oh, Jesus. Mr. Birch continued. Perhaps if it was 30 to 40 years ago when the evolution thing was a more openly discussed topic in the news, then that might have had our concern. Oh, no, this wasn't Mr. Birch. This was Sizemore. I missed a Yahoo. But that's not where we are at this time period. Our students right now are hearing conversations about climate change. Libby Strong, she's president of the West Virginia Science Teachers Association. Oh, dear. Said,
I have no problem with students figuring out which is the most important component
regarding climate change. And then, since we're going to have a debate, according to the State Board of Education, since we're going to have a debate, you would think that maybe there'd be some rules for how to conduct that debate. No, Ryan Quinn writes, when asked how the State Department of Education would ensure that teachers instructing students on the climate change standards actually foster fair debate backed up by solid evidence, school officials argued they have little control over local curricula or ability to monitor it and have a lot of professional development to do before the requirements go into effect. It's also currently unclear how students will be tested on the standards. I said I love More In Mondays, and I do. Sometimes it's a little bit of a challenge, though. I did. I missed a goober. There's somebody in this story referenced by the name of Sizemore. And I blew right past it. But anyway... Sizemore called the and fail edition, and fall, you know, remember, and fall, how temperatures rise and fall. Sizemore called the and fall edition to the global temperature rise standard fabulous. She said she wants students to be skeptics who back up their assertions with evidence. The science will be brought to their attention. The students will understand why when this group says this, this is what they think, and when this group says this, that's why they're thinking this. So I feel at peace that there's going to be science that's going to rule.
Science rules!
Only it doesn't, because, you know, Wade Linger. So maybe that, in its own way, this year More In Monday, maybe that kind of points out why it is that I didn't go tilting at windmills this evening. You know? It just might.
Forget it, Jake. It's Chinatown.
Precisely. Jack in Shreveport observing under the subject line, population growth, climate change. I've never been able to grasp the right-winger's strong need for growth, 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 economically, population-wise, and otherwise. To me, that concept translates to a pyramid scheme, and I think in the end it is, and it will, collapse. Could you explain their need for growth, at least in the economic realm, please? Thanks, Jack. I don't think the average wingnut is out there thinking growth, 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 growth. But the average wingnut is, being authoritarianly oriented, is told that growth is good, is told that growth is the only thing that can help us. And as far as population is concerned, a lot of them are driven by religion. That says that, well, I mean, look, it's a goddamn controversy in this country. For a woman to simply be able to have access to reproductive contraceptive choice. Because there's a bunch of pasty-faced, doughy, stupid old white men out there. Them pills them women's is taking causes silent abortions. A man can be sitting there rutting on his mailer and her taking that pill and just having an abortion every time they get it on. And he don't ever even know that he's being cheated out of the right to be a daddy. Because the Bible says, right? Economically, if you've got more people, you got to have more stuff for more people to do, to make, to consume. Right? And while Jack refers to unlimited, unconstrained growth as a pyramid scheme, I've got another word for it. And we're relatively familiar with it, I suspect. Cancer. In a human body, when cells start multiplying out of control, and they grow, 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 we call it cancer, and then we bury people. Because they die. Because unrestrained growth leads to systemic collapse. I awoke Sunday morning to the news that one of the great sports broadcasters, well, not broadcasters, but sports anchors of our era had died. Stuart Scott over at ESPN, a groundbreaker, a barrier smasher. They found cancer in him. They beat it. He went into remission. It came back. They beat it. It went into remission. It came back. Three or four times he battled it before it got him. And capitalism is the economic equivalent of wildly metastasizing cancer. Because it will eventually consume the entire system and kill it. But the thing is, some people do well by it, and therefore like it. Coal companies cause cancer all the time. But you don't see them out there doing anything about it. Because the cancers caused by coal companies benefit coal companies. Wall Street investors and Wall Street investment banks profit by cancer all the time. But it doesn't cost them anything, so you don't see them, because they fund oil exploration and oil companies and gas companies and fracking and drilling and mining and blasting. And you don't see them not doing it because they do well by it. And so far we have managed to successfully evade or ignore the broad-spectrum systemic effect of an economic cancer upon the entire species. Yeah. And that sort of explains, I hope, Jack, your query. Good God, I've already filibustered the first hour away. Well, that's okay. We got two more hours, or more or less, of broadcasting for this Moran Monday, and that's a good thing because, well, we have lots of Morans, and we'll get back to them. We're going to take a break right now, however. And if you want to get involved in the Moran discussion, well, you're welcome to. There's a couple of numbers you can use, one being 304-574-8178, or the Gizmo line, 304-663-HORN, 304-663-4676. Nikki kind of reminded me the other day that I've quit doing a very good job of putting out the email address, Bob Kincaid, BobKincaid, @gmail.com. is how you reach via email, if you would like to. Note coming in from Randy. Climate deniers may question the greenhouse gas effect of CO2 and methane, and that is a bit more difficult to prove to the non-scientists. I get that. And I don't even know if prove is the right word. Demonstrate. Perhaps. Randy also points out Venus, which has a carbon dioxide nitrogen atmosphere, has a surface temperature of 872 degrees Fahrenheit. The atmosphere of Venus is much denser and hotter than that of Earth. Of course, Venus is closer to the sun.
See, sunspots. Milankovitch cycles.
You know, two people can pedal a Milankovitch cycle. The temperature at the surface of Venus is 740 degrees Kelvin, that's 467 degrees centigrade, 872 degrees Fahrenheit, while the pressure is 93 bars. The Venusian atmosphere, actually, it's not, the word is not Venusian, and I'm not correcting Randy, I'm correcting the what he cited. The actual word you would use to describe the atmosphere, that when you want to turn Venus into an adjective, it's not Venusian. It's venereal. But we can't say the venereal atmosphere because the next thing you know, you'll think that the entire planet has gone sprayed roach crazy like, say, you know, Steve King of Iowa or Louis Gohmert, who wants to be Speaker of the House of Representatives. The venereal atmosphere supports opaque clouds made of sulfuric acid, making optical, Earth-based, and orbital observation of the surface impossible. Information about the topography has been obtained exclusively by radar imaging. The main atmospheric gases are carbon dioxide and nitrogen. Other chemical compounds are present only in trace amounts. In fact, by the way, Venus averages 67 million miles from the sun. And in point of fact, NASA has one of NASA's theoretical little pet projects is a whole bunch of blimps. Zeppelins, if you will, scientific station, research stations in the venereal atmosphere. Isn't that cool? Yeah, I thought so too. So yeah, 4 minutes past the hour. We have $100 to go in our fundraising for the evening. Anybody wanting to stand shoulder to shoulder with Asa and Grant and Gerald are more than welcome to do so. They are truly welcomed into that the evening's solidarity. Of course, if you want to do this, you just go to the headonradionetwork.com page, click on Contribute, and use the PayPal interface there. I done told you how to reach the program. You can also reach me on Twitter, @BobKincaid, BobKincaid, Bob Kincaid, on Facebook, and over on Facebook we have a group in which you have to request membership called The Horn Head On Radio Network. And if you send a request, you will be accepted into the group Lickety Split. Cool, huh? Yeah. So, if you want to, light them up on either the Gizmo line or the other line, which we will not confuse people by calling the Skype line. If you want to reach me by Skype, Skype to Skype is just Bob Kincaid Horn, B-O-B-K-I-N-C-A-I-D. Odoki, goody. This is listener-supported conversation radio. This is The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid. Be right back. Thank you, Michael. Perfect bumper. told you it was a perfect bumper. Courtesy of Michael and Madison, the Cranberries. I love her voice. I do. Are they Irish? Maybe that, because the way it linger, it sounds kind of Irish. Just maybe it's just, I don't know, maybe it's like archetypally into my genetics or something. But yeah, I did. let us now go forth to the gizmo line and see who's there. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob.
Sup? Well, you know, Kevin, you're back home, huh?
Yeah, made it back home. Suffering from one small malady. It's called bitten lip and tongue disease. That's what happens when you go home to...
Oh, yeah, you probably just chewed the inside of your mouth into hamburger, haven't you?
Right, yeah. So, other than that, doing fine. So, I just thought I'd check in and say hello. And
so, hopefully your trip home was not as fraught with peril as was the trip out.
Well, that depends on... What do you mean, peril? I was delayed in one of the bitter airports to be, and I'm being real sarcastic there, one of the bitter airports to be facing a delay in flight in, and that's Bush Intercontinental Airport in Houston. So, nothing like being stranded in an airport that is named after appointed president.
No, the airport in Houston is George H.W. Bush. That's Pappy.
Right.
That's Pappy.
Right. Yeah. But you can make an argument that he was appointed too because he was Reagan's vice president, and the way they,
No, I just, you know how you do I before C, except after, right? The way I remember the difference between the two Bushes is that one was appointed to the presidency by the Supreme Court, and the other helped subvert what was left of our government in the Iran-Contra escapades, and then pardoned all the crooks. See, it's easy that way.
Right.
It doesn't rhyme or anything,
right.
But it's easy.
Exactly, and that was. At least they got to talk to SEC football while we were sitting in the airport. Now Florida State was getting absolutely annihilated. It got to the point where we just got up and walked away. Our plane still wasn't there, but we were going back to the gate because that game was essentially over by mid-third quarter. I've never seen a team implode as badly as Florida State did that night. The more they tried, the worse it got. And then when Ohio State beat Alabama, it was not a good weekend for the SEC. Let's just put it that way. So, but other than being delayed for that brief hour and a half, had a good flight back. Came back to the balmy Colorado Springs climate of 15 above. And, you know, these conservative people can say all they want about there's not global warming, but I witnessed it firsthand in Florida. I grew up my whole life in Florida. And in Florida, it does not start cooling off. Even in the winter, unless the cold fronts came through, but normal weather, it doesn't start cooling off till the sun goes down. Now, about 3 in the afternoon, you can feel it start cooling off. It doesn't get cold, per se, but you can tell the difference. And that happened the whole time I was there. So it wasn't just like a fluke kind of thing. And while I was out there, of course, out here, we were having the wind chills, I think, of like minus 50. So I was kind of glad I was in Florida when I heard about that. So, I just was amazed at the difference in the climate there. It's not that there's a great difference, but it's those little things that you notice that weren't there before. And, I guess people that have lived there all their lives maybe don't notice it or don't want to notice it, but having left there and then come back to visit, I noticed it from the first day I was there, and it was perceptible enough to feel the difference. And this is the time of the year in Florida where the humidity is down there normally, unless there's a thunderstorm nearby or something, and it's getting much. It's a different climate. That's the best way to put it. It's just a different climate. And I wonder if people like Jim and Sergi, who live on or near the Gulf Coast in different states, have noticed that similar change in their climates.
I know Sergi's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of miles from the Gulf Coast. And
no, I will use word scary because...
Jim from Louisiana Stan is not too awfully far from the Gulf.
No. And I'm Camp, we're, I say Tampa, it's actually outside of Tampa, but we're about 35 miles inland, I guess, 40 miles inland. If you call Lakeland maybe the exact center of the peninsula, if you went in a straight line from the Gulf Coast to Orlando to the East Coast, I'd say Lakeland maybe was the exact center of that, give or take a few miles here or there. And I'm not that far away, you know, from Lakeland. But anyway, it was just one of those things I noticed, and the other thing that I took note of when I got home and had time to settle in, I thought to myself, I didn't realize it was bad. And by that, I mean, I knew the South was bad in terms of the propaganda that you're going to hear on radio and every channel, except for the sports stations, being right-wing blather. But it was different from when I went home 2 years ago. I mean, it's just not...
By different, you mean getting worse.
Yeah. I literally could not turn... chew tobacco, so I went outside to do that, which had its benefits, because I didn't have to listen to Fox News when I was outside.
So was Fox News just the constant background noise, sort of like the clicks and beeps of deep space that you hear? Is that
my dad watches that all day. According to him, Fox News is the only station that tells the truth.
Now, okay, I'm not trying to pry or anything, Kevin, but how old's your dad?
78.
Okay, so...
I didn't say anything, but...
Well, no, I mean, weren't there some reruns of Matlock or Barnaby Jones or Murder, She Wrote On? I mean...
I'm talking this dawn during the day at night. They watch whatever's on TV, which isn't much. They watch a lot of the, there was one Alaskan Frontiersman where they show the people supposedly going out on the Alaskan wilderness trying to survive.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and right-wingers watch that hoping for a glimpse of Mama Disley.
Right. And then, of course, they watch the movies like Jag, or not movies, shows like Jag, and, you know, all the assorted dramas and that are on TV that aren't worth watching for the most part.
You know, you mention all this, and I confess that via the miracle of the Internet, I periodically, and God help me, I did it this morning, watch a little bit of Morning Joe. I watched, what does Charlie Pierce call her? He calls it was Squint and the Meat Puppet. I watched Squint and the Meat Puppet make a big to-do out of the new White Castle veggie burger sliders. And if that won't put you off your morning kibble, oh well. You know, I find it humorous, Kevin. You know what sliders are, right? From White Castle.
Oh yeah. I'm familiar with White Castle.
And now, you know, like little boutique-y restaurants that charge Tony prices will, you know, three of our hand pulled pork barbecue sliders with our own artisanal barbecue sauce gravy, and they're calling them sliders. Am I the only one who remembers that the reason sliders are called effing sliders is because they will shoot through you like a laxative?
Yep.
And I look at it on the menu and go, nobody's paying attention.
No, they're not. That's
sliders was not a compliment.
No. Didn't start out that way, and... You know, yeah, White Castle burgers are good, but they're probably not the most healthy things to eat. And when you get something that is an original slider, it's even worse. And so, yeah, aside from my parents, you know, which you can... that's not the right word. Take into account their age, I guess is the way to say it. But we had the Tarpon Springs cop, I'm sure you heard about that, the cop down in Florida that got killed.
Mm-hmm.
And the two cops up in New York. And it was nonstop praising of the police force and nonstop, even if it wasn't a Fox channel, of how this is all because the people who are protesting the unnecessary and needless death of Tamir Rice, and I forget the other guy's name now, but it's all because these protesters have inflamed the population.
Oh, I know, And the Police Benevolent Association turned their backs on their fallen comrade, Detective Liu, yesterday at his funeral. These people have no class whatsoever. They are utterly without honor, without dignity, and they're disgusting. And by the way, I checked out the photographs of the cops standing with their backs turned yesterday.
Yep.
I couldn't see anything but old, cranky white men. I didn't see any black NYPD officers with their backs turned.
No. No, it's... I would protest. The death of the cop in Tarpon Springs was nothing related to any protest. That was a guy trying to escape, going back to jail on a... bond violation or whatever. He just didn't want to go back to jail, so he shot the cop, which wasn't a real right thing to do, obviously. But I fully protest the death of an innocent cop as much as I do the death of an...
Well, yeah, you do, because you have a fully formed ethical and moral sense, Kevin, and you recognize that you can criticize bad police behavior and at the same time grieve over one who gets killed.
Right.
It's not a zero-sum game. There is not a limited quantum of sympathy in the universe.
Exactly. And I don't consider that to be a reason not to protest when an unarmed person does get killed by a police officer, but according to some of the things I heard on the TV down there, I'm in the wrong for speaking up about something like that because I'm not respecting the authority of the police. Well, I'm sorry. I don't respect the authority of the police when and if they shoot an unarmed 12-year-old. Well, he's armed with a toy gun, but the cop didn't bother to.
Well, you can't do much in the way of a judgment call in the 2 seconds it took for the young ne'er-do-well police officer who never should have been hired in the first place to jump out of the car and murder the child.
And when you check out this guy's background.
Oh, it's a nightmare.
Yeah. And yet you have.
Big old giant loser.
Yeah. And so I.
But bear in mind, police departments would rather have those big old giant losers than have a guy with, say, a 110 or 115 IQ or 120, or a woman with a similar IQ.
Well, yeah, because people with higher IQs tend to question not authority, but question the morality.
Well, they question, no, they ask questions about whether or not something is intelligent.
Right. Hey, ultimately, yes. That's what it comes down to.
Yeah, exactly. And hey, Kevin, it's good to hear from you. I'm going to roll along. We've got other. I've seen a couple of jingles come in, but I'm awfully glad to know that you're home safe and stay warm and stay in touch. Okay.
I will do that, and it's good to be back hearing progressive radio. Well, common sense radio. Let's call it that. Call it for what it is. It's not progressive. It's not.
Well, we're just glad you're back home to the commune congregation family.
Right.
All right. So, take care, Kevin. Have a good evening.
Take care, Bob.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Our buddy Kevin calling from Colorado Springs. Note coming in from Robert in Australia. Not laughing at, laughing with Robert. Subject line: White Castle is real. Bob, White Castle is real. I thought it was made up for that movie. You know, Harold and Kumar. Oh no, oh no, Robert, it's real. Sweet Jesus, it's real. I'm just astonished that it hasn't made it to Australia. No crystals down there yet either, I reckon. See, in the north and the Midwest, you get White Castle. The same principle applies in the south, you get crystals. I think crystals were born in Nashville, and maybe White Castles were born in Talibandiana or something. But the principle is the same. A little itsy-bitsy pureed square patty of meat substance served on a little tiny square steamed bun and stuck in a box with very minimal. I mean, I don't know so much about White Castles as I do about crystals. Crystals have pickles, mustard, and little tiny chopped up minced grilled onions. And you can, well, I mean, I can. We don't have crystals or white castle sliders. We don't have either one of them here in almost level West by Cole, West Virginia, Stan. We have McDonald's burger thing and that red-headed right-wing little girl and Arby's roast beef-flavored gelatin product, but no crystal, no White Castle, no Popeyes. Yeah, it can be look, you know, God made Appalachia to train the faithful. What can I say? Is that you, Carol Baker?
Tis I, Captain.
Oh, welcome, and you know, just talk me down or make it worse. I mean, either way.
Well, there was a reason why we referred to White Castle as rectum rockets in college. There you go. So you definitely got the meaning of the slider part right.
Oh, yeah. Just right through. Straight pipe.
Right through, yeah. But, yeah, nasty things. Let's talk about them cops. And what is it about your weekend Facebook page where you attract the crazies on the weekend?
I'm sorry. I don't mean to. okay, the guy from a couple of weeks ago is a dear old friend of my youth, and, you know, we used to drive around, go running around flat tracking and sitting in the woods and drinking Miller ponies and stuff, and so that, you know, the other guy, I got no clue. I got 3,000 friends on my Facebook page. I have no idea how the Facebook algorithm works, but I've seen this guy do it before. If you say boo about the police, this guy gets his authoritarian on and just pops onto your page.
Hey, man, until you've worn the uniform, you don't know. I just want to vomit when I hear that shit.
Oh, I know. I know.
I was nice to the guy a couple of weeks ago. He was wrong, and he was being kind of an idiot, but I was nice. This guy, I didn't have any mercy for him. This whole thing of, I don't know what it is about a uniform in this country that makes some people absolutely paralytic with common sense. But you show them a soldier or a cop, and it's absolute, unquestioning, adoration. And I have no problems with the soldiers who served in the Middle East. These people were following orders. But this whole idea of, I'm more patriotic than you, and while I was over there, in Afghanistan, I looked to my left and I looked to my right, and I didn't see you there. All you were doing was sitting on your fat ass at home correcting people's grammar on Facebook. And I'm like, that's right. I was bringing culture. And education.
Clarity? Clarity? Were you also bringing clarity, Carol?
Little clarity. Never hurt anybody.
Because, I mean, you can have clarity because Diane's got the market cornered on marvelous coherence.
Indeed. And I would never want to take that away from her.
Well, I don't think you could if you tried.
I couldn't. But truthfully, it's like, why is it that because you donned the uniform and because you couldn't get a job, so you joined the Army, and somehow you're more patriotic than I am, and your opinions are the only ones that matter. First of all, you didn't fight for my fucking freedom. You fought for oil. Absolutely, it's been proven.
Yeah, that horse is good. That horse, that train, that monorail is gone.
Yeah,
that debate is over.
I'm less free now than I was, you know, before 9/11. And there's just not any rationale. Like I said, I look at the character of the person wearing the uniform. And when I see a bunch of horses' asses in blue facing the Dunkin' Donuts with their backs to the mayor, tells me what they respect. And, yes, I absolutely love the optics of that picture. Did you see that?
Yes, I did. And I'm glad you mentioned it because, with the horse, that was one of those pictures worth a thousand words moment.
It really was. I was like,
What blows my mind is why the for-profit media continues to... What did dim leader say during the Reign of Error, Carol? Catapult the propaganda. Why do the for-profit media continue to catapult the propaganda and say that this is somehow a matter of the lynch mob, the Patrick Lynch mob, protesting Mayor de Blasio? When in point of fact, if you want to get down to the real kernel, the real nugget of it, what they're doing is overtly disrespecting the two officers who died in the line of duty.
Absolutely.
Because, I mean, let's say, because, you know, a reductio ad absurdum argument does come in handy from time to time, you'll agree?
Absolutely, I love them.
Let's say I'm a police officer and I go to a brother or sister officer's funeral.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out that my brother or sister officer was a fundamentalist Christian, and they want to bring on the remaining members of the Happy Goodman family to sing How Great Thou Art. Well, I'm an agnostic. I don't go in for that. And the Happy Goodman family makes me want to tear out the tiniest bones in the human body with my own hands.
Yeah. You know,
so I turn my back on and put earplugs in so as not to hear the Happy Goodman family. Now, with the for-profit media report that I was protesting the Happy Goodman family, or would they say that I was showing profound disrespect for my dead sister officer?
The latter.
I mean, that's easy, right?
Sure it is.
Because Mayor de Blasio didn't walk into either of these funerals and say, oh, I'd just like to say a couple of words before, you know, just passing through. He was invited by the families.
Yes, he was. And they were given direct orders by the police commissioner not to do this. They were asked by the family, respectfully, not to do this.
I watched the weeping remarks of Detective Lou's widow.
Me too.
And my heart just ached for her. As I think it would any human being, Carol.
Of course it did.
And to think that those self-absorbed juvenile pricks, and see, they won't call them self-absorbed juvenile pricks on the for-profit media. I, by God, will. Those self-absorbed juvenile pricks from, that's three times, that may make one appear right here in the studio next to me, just like saying Beetlejuice. Those self-absorbed juvenile pricks were more concerned with their own precious hurt peelings, which really ought not be hurt if you look at the facts behind what has been done thus far as compared between, say, Mayor Bloomberg and Mayor de Blasio. I don't even know where I was going now. I was having so much fun calling them self-absorbed juvenile pricks.
Because it's so apt.
Well, yeah, and I'm a free speech First Amendment guy, but these people are getting perilously close to inciting riot. And the thing is, there's a history in the city of New York of cops rioting.
Yes. Mayor Dinkins, remember that?
Yeah.
Remember when the cops blocked the Brooklyn Bridge?
Right. So I'm kind of at a loss here.
Here's where my loss falls in. You come upon a cop, and he demands unquestioning respect and compliance from citizens. And if you don't do it, he'll kill you and get away with it. But they can disobey the orders of the police commissioner and the slain officer's family and disrespect the mayor and the police commissioner and disrespect the office, and somehow when I act like a horse's ass, my union can't protect me from getting disciplined or fired. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
When I belong to a union, as long as I was operating inside the rules, my union could protect my job. But if I was blatantly insubordinate for a very reasonable request from my superiors, there was absolutely nothing that the union rep could do for me to save my job. So why is this police benevolent? Why is the white officers union untouchable? Why can't these people be fired or disciplined? That's what I want to know.
Well, because, and I'm kind of off the cuff here, but because of the First Amendment. Because somehow this extremely disrespectful behavior is deemed to be political speech.
Not when you're in uniform, it isn't.
Well, you would think it's not. You would think. I had no idea that the New York.
The job.
I had no idea that the NYPD had no had no rules whatsoever against insubordination, but apparently they don't.
I guess not. But I think it's, I don't know, maybe it's because they're part of the civil service union. They can't be canned that easily, but I think that's what emboldens them.
Well, they're going to, they'll do it again.
Yeah, they'll do it again. And I'm still waiting for someone to explain to me what it was that Mayor de Blasio said that caused the death of that, of those officers. What did he say that encouraged somebody to go kill cops?
Nothing.
Nothing.
There is not a thing in the actions of that ass, and I have no problem calling him an ass. Granted, apparently he was a ne'er-do-well and had maybe mental and emotional problems, but he still behaved like an ass, and he's an ass. There's no evidence of him having coffee and donuts with Mayor de Blasio. There's evidence that he shot his girlfriend and that the Baltimore police just sort of took their time about that. There's evidence that he was on a goddamn bus for 4 hours and not a single roadblock was set up.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no evidence of any complicity with Mayor de Blasio.
Seems like a failure of the police. Seems like they're responsible for not doing enough to protect those officers. But, again, that's just me. But, you know, police behavior is, it's getting so dicey nowadays. Texas Tea sent me a very interesting article on a drunken cop that was caught on camera pulling a gun on a convenience store clerk. He was drunk and belligerent, and he got off. I mean, how tough do you have to be to get drunk, go in with your Kevlar vest on, pull a gun on a minimum wage convenience store clerk until they shit their pants in fear, and then walk away? I don't get it. And this happened in Tucson, Arizona. Or shall we talk about the state trooper that was found guilty of sex abuse charges?
Oh, yeah, that's a real charmer. I saw that on your feed last night.
He got 3 days in jail, 2 years probation, and he never has to register as a goddamn nerd.
Let's delve a little bit, if you don't mind. Let's delve a little bit deeper into that. So you've got a guy.
Mm-hmm. He's in Virginia.
Who is over in the old Dominion, Virginia Stan. And he's a member of the Virginia State Police.
Yeah.
And he, what?
He, let's see, three of the charges that he pled guilty to stem from a series of incidents in 2001 where, when he was 18, he sexually assaulted a boy who was in the 7th and 8th grade, and then he exposed himself to the child and masturbated in front of and with him, and one night the boy woke up to find the officer performing oral sex on him. And he told the victim, well, that's what friends do for one another. And then, let's see, he said he'd been abused. Oh, the victim said he'd been abused as a child by someone who's now a police officer. I guess he wasn't a cop when he did it, but there were other things that were not revealed in there because the prosecutor recommended a sentence of 9 years in prison, and the judge suspended all but 30 days of it. 2 years probation, and the original charges were, and he got out on an I bond. How do you like that?
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. Isn't that nice? He gets out on an I bond. Sorry for those. It's a personal recognition.
Yeah, a PR bond.
Yeah. He doesn't have to register as a sex offender. As also as part of the agreement, two additional active charges of forcible sodomy and indecent liberties with a child will be dropped. He was originally charged with forcible sodomy, aggressive sexual battery, and indecent liberties with a child.
And see, this is an onion. This case is an onion because mm-hmm. it's got layers. Because, as you have alluded to, Carol, you and I both know that any ordinary stiff who did, that's probably the wrong word.
Yeah.
Any ordinary person who had been similarly charged would be facing those 9 years or more, right?
Yeah.
And the prosecutor wanted 9.
Yes.
So, wherein is the fix? Because it's pretty clear there's a fix here.
Well, I dug deeper into the story, and the Judge Wiesnett accepted the plea from the Commonwealth's attorney. So I accept him as a prosecutor. The prosecutor may have said he wanted, but I think if he had pressed it, but it definitely sounded like the fix was in between the judge and the prosecutor.
Yeah, it sounds like a wrestling match Saturday night down to the armory. Okay, you're going to ask for 9 years, and I'm going to say, no, no, you are being too harsh. And I'm going to say, but your honor. And I'm going to say, don't but your honor me. I'm going to give him in to suspend the sentence.
Well, I get here.
I mean, it's...
The other thing that I read is that it's rightly people should be armed about sentence. The public should know that's how the Commonwealth gets around adjudicating public officials. The sitting judge voluntarily recuses himself from the case, so he doesn't have to be on the hook for prosecuting a state policeman. Then the Virginia Supreme Court Chief Justice is supposed to be notified by the clerk of court. However, that's not what normally happens. The clerks have been circumventing the state code and going straight to the chief judge, the respective judicial circuit for designations of judges to sit on cases. So they get to pick friendly judges. So, in fact, the chief judge asks the clerk who they want to have sit on the case. So the clerk de facto is designating the judge who sits on the recusal case at that point.
Jesus.
And Judge Herman is a retired Virginia judge. He has no bench where he sits or presides.
And no electorate.
Right, and no electorate. So he's participating in a, quote, retired judge circuit to move around and hear cases as appointed. And see, this gets the judges, the elected judges, off the hook. So they bring these retired judges in.
Yeah, it's the whole father let this cup pass from me thing.
Yeah, exactly. So, I don't know. I think a pedophile is a pedophile is a pedophile. And I think that history has proven that they are not reformed, that they should be. I mean, I have seen cases where, like, 18-year-old guys have been sleeping with their 17-year-old girlfriends, and the parents prosecute them. The guy ends up marrying the girl, but he still has to register as a sex offender. I've seen cases like that where I think that the harshness of the sex registry is a little too absolute with the average schmo. Especially when I saw a case that was done here. There was a guy who he had a little bit of a drinking problem, and he was a construction worker. He was staying with some, quote, friends, a co-worker. And the guy's 16-year-old daughter kept saying, I want you to buy me a car. And he's like, you're not my kid. I'm not going to buy you a car. Well, he wakes up after a drunk one morning and finds her in the bed next to him. And he's like, I have no recollection of this, whatever. Suddenly, mommy and daddy burst into the room, and they're like, oh! at a very convenient time. And then he ends up having to, he's arrested, he's taken to jail, he has work for 3 weeks. He can't afford a lawyer, you can't pay your bills. So they assign him a public defender. He ends up taking an Alford plea, not knowing that it's essentially a guilty verdict.
Yeah, an Alford plea being, I'm pleading guilty, I'm pleading guilty even though I don't think I'm guilty.
Yeah, but there's a possibility that they could find me guilty, so I'm just going to...
Yeah.
I'm going to file this. He had no idea what the long-term results of that were going to be. So, but in the state of Missouri back then, the judge had a, if the judge really thought that it was trumped up, because the parents came to him afterwards and said, look, we won't file charges against you for, say, a $3,000 payoff. Well, interestingly, wasn't that the same price that that they wanted for the daughter's car?
Pretty much.
So, yeah, so he goes, I didn't do anything. I know I did. So they take him to jail. He ends up at the Alford plea. The judge says, this whole thing stinks because I'm listening to this guy talk and it sounds legitimate. And, buddy, you need to quit drinking and making some bad decisions in your life and get the hell out of there, but this whole thing stinks. So he gave evidence that basically said that after so many years, it would be scrubbed off of his record. Well, then they passed Megan's Law, and the state of Missouri came back and said, oh, all you guys who were given that special kind of sentence that said that if you kept your nose clean, we were going to expunge your record. Well, guess what? We're not going to expunge your record now, and now we're going to make you register as sex offenders. So here's this guy, you know, 25 years down the road, suddenly gets slapped with this thing where he's a registered sex offender, can't go to his son's football game.
And see, that makes me crazy, because how in God's name is that not the imposition of an ex post facto law? How is that not unconstitutional on its face?
It's completely unconstitutional. And the worst part was, this guy was elected mayor of a small town, and somebody digging around on the internet found it, didn't like it, and next thing you know, news crews are in front of their house, and the whole thing just what they did to this poor family.
Jesus.
And so I get the whole thing. There are a lot of guys that should be on sex offender registries, like guys who commit military sexual assault.
Or Virginia State police officers who wake up little boys by masturbating on them?
The problem that I have with the military sexual assault thing and the fact that it's all adjudicated through the military is that those are never reported on a civil basis. And then these guys end up getting turned out into society where they reoffend and nobody knows if they ever had a history. So, yeah, I got a problem with this broken system. Especially the one that says that if you're wearing a uniform, there's really not a whole lot you can do to get yourself slapped in prison.
We saw a good bit of that. Well, how many times did people in Iraq and Afghanistan, service members, get away with just blowing away some villagers?
Oh, a lot of times. It was just that one guy who went crazy and killed. And honestly, I think if they could have figured out a way to keep it from going public, he'd have probably gotten away with it.
More than likely.
But you know, it's unfortunate. And the only other thing, because I have ADHD, the only other thing that I saw in the news that really kind of made me laugh on a morning Monday is Louis Gomez is challenging John Boehner for the speaker's position.
And you know what? I want it to be a steel cage death match, Carol.
You know, I laughingly on my Facebook page last night that I was so glad to know that my annual New Year's ritual sacrifice of a mind to the goddess of satire worked its magic, and Louis Gomer made that announcement.
Yeah, well, there's a reason I set fire to the occasional whoopee cushion or rubber chicken. Oh, that's all. I almost got a Betty Rubble there.
It's all an offering.
Well, I want it to be a teeth bared, bare knuckled, hair pulling, eye gouging, kidney punching. Unfortunately, it won't be. I mean, the life is not that good, Carol.
Yeah, I know it's not. That would just be too easy because then half of the equation would actually be gone. And
I would love nothing more than to see the. Of course, we don't have this kind of guts. I'd love to see the entire Democratic caucus go vote for Louis.
I would too.
Just as a little shot across the bow that two can play the insurgency game.
Absolutely. And he says Merck is going to be destroyed if he's not named Speaker. And I was like, no, I'm pretty sure they're not. What are we calling these people who make those kinds of prognostications? Nostradamus?
There we go. I love that. Nostradamus. And speaking of whom, can I share, because we've never, I mentioned it in a little note yesterday or maybe the day before. I don't think we have ever nominated Oprah. But we have now.
In which
they argue that LBJ tried to keep Dr. King from getting all uppity, which is about it's not exactly crystal clear. In point of fact, you know, Selma arose rather organically, and that might be the wrong word too, out of oddly enough a police murder of a young black man.
Exactly.
A Second World War veteran, in point of fact, or maybe a Korean War veteran, that the cops killed for, I think he was trying to defend his mama or his daddy. I apologize for not having the history right at hand, but it was one county over from Dallas County, Alabama, which is where Selma is, but Selma though needs LBJ to be a bad guy or something. And LBJ was not, he was not 100% foursquare, but by the same token, he was not nearly as difficult to deal with as was JFK, as were JFK and Bobby.
That's exactly right.
Oprah is out there hustling the movie, and she was. Interviewed, and she said, it's wonderful to march and to protest, and it's wonderful to see all across the country people doing it, but what I'm really looking for, and she's talking about the protests over Eric Garner and Michael Brown and Tamir Rice, and, you know, we all know how long the list is. What I'm really looking for is some type of leadership to come out of this to say, this is what we want. This is what has to change. And these are the steps that we need to take to make these changes. And this is what we're willing to do to get it.
Well, Malcolm X said freedom at any price.
By any means necessary.
By any means necessary. Freedom by any means necessary.
And he was paraphrasing Jean-Paul Sartre.
Yes. And then the Black Panthers adopted it, and Malcolm was murdered.
But the idea that a billionaire, to wit, Oprah, would say that there isn't, how do you organize the marches if there's no leadership? How do you organize the protests if there's no leadership? How do Michael Brown's parents wind up in what, Geneva, testifying before the United Nations if there's no leadership?
That's right.
It reads a lot like, hey, y'all come see my movie so I can show you what leadership is. And it's like, you know, really, these grieving parents, can you please get off their backs?
Does she forget they murdered Martin?
Is that in the movie?
I don't know. I haven't seen it.
Me neither.
You know,
but
that's
she,
what
you know, she wants
leaders.
She wants some leadership.
But if she's volunteering. But where is she? Where is she?
Well, Oprah ain't going to lead nothing. You get a car, you get a car, you get a car. No, how about you get to live, you get to live, you get to live, you get to live. No, I just read this a couple of days ago, and it kind of pissed me off.
I got Oprah out a long time ago.
I mean, you're a billionaire. You have handed the world Dr. Phil and Dr. Oz, who are two of the biggest frauds and hucksters and snake oil salesmen that that the late 20th and early 21st century have ever seen, and you're complaining that there's no leadership. You know who were leaders? The five Rams wide receivers. That's leadership.
Exactly.
LeBron James in an I Can't Breathe t-shirt is leadership.
That's right.
The guy who plays for the, was it the Browns? Justice for Tamir Rice. That's leadership. That takes guts.
Sure is.
And by the way, just in case you're wondering.
Yeah.
Nicki Minaj, and we know who Nicki Minaj is. I'm not that big a fogey.
I got it.
So Nicki Minaj criticized other entertainers of color because they were not talking as much as she would like them to about police brutality. And she said the reason they're not doing it is because they will be torn apart if they did. And she said, how many times can you be memorable for caring about your people before you say, fuck it, it's not worth it, let me live my life because I'm rich and why would I give a fuck?
What has she done?
Well, she at least said this.
There are a lot of...
But here's the fun part.
Black athletes and entertainers that are speaking out.
So here's the fun part, though. David Duke, mentioning the word, the name, you know this is going to get interesting quick.
Hold on, let me get my starch tube.
Oh, well, you might want to get your hockey puck, too. And apparently David Duke has a radio show. Kid you not. Why do people blame blacks like Minaj? Because Minaj wouldn't be a pimple on somebody's rear end except for the fact that she is promoted by the Jewish record producers and the media, the mass media, the powerful media that promotes absolute degenerates like her.
Wow, he had fucked her effect on that one, didn't he?
Just, you know, if you had David Duke in the second, you know, go to the cashier's window. One of the Jewish producers who's boasting about the fact that every one of the top 10 Billboard songs were those he controlled, even rap music is not something that blacks really are responsible for. It was the Jewish record producers who promoted this degenerate and sick and horrific music. He needs to go get drunk with Mel Gibson and this, Jews, and the Jews, Jews, Jews.
Have some juice.
Damn it, stupid fuck. God.
They can't help themselves.
You're a little bit of... anybody who can do Betty Rubble, laugh like Betty Rubble, has got to be a bit of a student of cartoons of a certain era, right?
Yeah. The old stuff, yeah.
Yeah, do you remember that cartoon, that Warner Brothers classic, where Bugs Bunny... is and goes and knocks on Yosemite Sam's door and explains to him that he's there with $1 million for him, and he'll deduct a little bit of money every time Yosemite Sam loses his temper.
Yes.
And for 7.5 minutes, or 7 minutes, Yosemite Sam keeps losing his temper and trying not to because there's so much money on the line. Black stag and nut, pole frazzleck and... Oh, that's going to cost you. Well, you know, this is that.
Yeah.
This is... they can't help it. They can't help it. You know what? People might start thinking I'm a respectable white guy. I mean, if you... And all I got to do... Jews? Really? And degenerate Negro women? Oh, that's going to cost you, Doc.
Been kind to the Duke. The years have not been kind to him.
I've not seen a photograph. Is he,
He's looking, he looks like a mummy.
Is he, he's looking at Mike poorly?
He looks extraordinarily aged, and he looks like he's had plastic surgery that did not go well. And his hair's almost white. Although, that could be artificial, sure.
White.
I'll pay anything to be white on me.
Hey, babe, by the way, I have to mention to you, Ron and Raleigh pointed out to us that Representative Ted Yoho has also thrown his dunce cap into the Speaker of the House ring.
Well, that could be fun.
So now we got two to choose from. Two twits in one. Ooh, that's twice tonight. I keep track, you know.
Yeah, we're going to make it good. I can do it right.
Oh, what a glorious Moran Monday. I feel bad for not going and tilting at windmills.
Yes. I don't know if you ever noticed, but on SoundCloud, I put the Buddy Rebel laugh on SoundCloud for you.
No, how did I, what? No.
Did I put the link on your Facebook page?
How did I miss that? Oh, I hate myself.
Well, I put a couple of things on SoundCloud for the horn.
Oh wow!
I'll have to go find the links for you, and I'll repost them to your Facebook page.
Okay, yes, please do. I will like that a lot.
Yes, you will.
I'll put that in little thingamajig that I use to. You know, play other clips,
I'm so wasted!
You know.
Dope!
That's good.
Yeah.
It actually only took me a second to learn. I can't for the life of me remember what the other one was. But, okay, so that's me. And then I want you to, because I put the horn logo on them so that if anybody saw it, they would know.
Yeah, that they would make the connection.
What if I'm okay, my tracks. Oh, here it is. Oh, it was the Thor thing call. Here, let me turn up the sound just a wee bit. And go.
Watching today, please report to the third floor nurses station for your Thor theme. Watching today, please report to the third floor nurses for your Thor theme.
And you were like ranting in the background. I can't remember what it was. Oh, hang on. Stop.
By the way, you got a note in from.
Do what?
You got a note in from Diane in Kansasstan.
Yes.
She says, Carol, of the utmost coherent clarity, raises a good question about the effect of police uniforms. The famous Milgram experiment comes to mind. To many, it demonstrates that subjects in the exerted authority, even to the point of believing that they were administering painful electric shocks to another subject. The conclusion drawn was that under certain circumstances, most people will obey orders. The lab coats worn by the people posing as scientists in the experiment were thought to encourage this deference to authority. Apparently, uniforms matter.
There you go. If you go to SoundCloud and type in Head On Radio Network and search, both links are there. Hang on, this is the Betty Robolak. Here you go, buddy.
Oh, I'm so going.
I saved them for you. I put those up like 3 months ago. I wondered why you never said anything about it.
Oh, I'm because I'm a dip. That's why.
Yeah, but you're our dip.
And by the way, apparent, I don't know, just in case anybody hears the archive or anything, you were absent, you by God were AWOL on Friday on the front porch.
That was not my fault. I have two tin cans and a string phone company for my internet, and somebody cut the string area-wide. It wasn't just me. It was like 8 square miles. Nobody had internet for about 10 hours.
I mentioned that because we're having some interweb tube problems here too. I had the devil's own time keeping the stream going all weekend long, and it seems like at night it just buffers like crazy. So you and I have had some breakup during our conversation here, and it's probably a combination of the both of us.
Yeah, I'm sure it is.
So.
Sure, they just put a slip knot in it and called it good.
Yeah, right. Reminds me of an electric fence one time, and when we were all done stringing, he said, "Plug her up!" And then, honest to God, I watched him. He licked his index finger and licked his thumb, and then just kind of gently grabbed the wire!
Oh, God.
You know, he finally.
At any rate, I'm gonna get off and give somebody else some time. By the way, Diane, thank you for that marvelously coherent comment. I appreciated that. I didn't miss that. I have a 150-pound dog standing right now, and she was out, so I'm gonna go.
Yeah, and notice, and you're not standing on her, are you?
No, I'm sitting in my chair, and she's got her feet on her lap.
Yeah, see, that's the way it's supposed to work. Well,
hanging over me.
Yeah, let her go out and run around, and then let the cat go walk on water.
My Jesus kitty.
That's right. Carol, have a lovely evening.
I got pictures to prove it.
Yes, you do.
All right. Talk to you guys later.
Bye now. Bye. News Ninja Carol Baker calling from Hooterville. She really does. She has pictures of her cat walking on water. I think there's a big internet meme waiting to happen there. Let's run over to the Gizmo line. Hey, welcome to the program.
Are you talking to me, sir?
I'm talking to you, Bill.
Man, that's a tough place to follow. You know that, don't you?
Oh, well, yeah, but if somebody has to, because I think we now understand the absolute origin of Chris Christie's assholishness. He keeps trying to be cool and high-five the cool people or hug them or something. And nobody wants to be hugged by
Tim Power Field.
Yeah,
and that should have been a penalty right there.
Well, it gets worse, Bill, because and for those who don't know what we're talking about, and those who don't care, well, A, if you don't care, suffer quietly. We'll get on to something else later.
Yeah.
Because this is cultural, and it matters. First of all, you got to understand that there's a picture from a week or so or 2 weeks back. I don't think it's more than 2 weeks. There's a picture of the head of NFL officiating getting off of Jer Hardy bus.
Yes.
Which creates something that in the judicial world is generally referred to as an appearance of impropriety.
Yes. Oh, Bob, I started following professional football in 1954 after the Indians lost the World Series to the Giants in 4 straight. Paul Brown came out to visit us, and he brought three of the men he brought with him in the NFL Hall of Fame. Graham was one, and Don Cavallari was the other, and Lou Groza, the field goal, and he played offensive tackle too, Groza. And your precursor, who originally came from Cleveland, you know, he talked about Groza giving him some hints on how to kick field goals. At one time, Rick Smith, you know, knew him.
Yeah.
Anyway, long story short, when you come off the sidelines and get on the field like that, there should be a penalty, like Well, in hockey, they take two men on the ice, you know. And, I mean, Detroit was a Paul Brown's nemesis in the 1950s. He played him about four times for the title, and it seemed they have his number. But, it's another story, but I thought they got shafted myself. Because I think this is something about, you guys told me this in the beginning of my following of the National Football League. Some of the whole thing was a rigged job like professional wrestling, you know. And it sure looked like it yesterday, because you know what they want to do here? They want to return to Ice Bowl 2, because they'll have to play Green Bay in Green Bay. You remember what that was like the last time they were reading anything about it?
No.
How cold it was?
Yeah. I hope it's a rock solid 10 below in Green Bay by next week. Not that I wish that upon the denizens of Green Bay, but you know they're used to it, and hopefully the Jones boys aren't.
Well, you know, Green Bay was purchased in the 50s. It was a public sale of stock to keep the team in Green Bay, because you look at Green Bay, it's not exactly a big populous area. Oh, and by the way, the offensive coordinator for Detroit, he's a grandson of what's his name, the great coach that Green Bay had, the guy that trophy is named after, you know, the Super Bowl trophy.
Yeah, Lombardi.
Yeah, he's a Lombardi. He's grandson of Vince. And you know, anyway, it's such a racket anymore today. It's a business. And you know, they pay very little in taxes in some ways. I can't really. Maybe you know better than me.
Well, no, the NFL is a non-profit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But
non-profit, I must be a millionaire and don't know it.
Well, yeah. Well, that's the whole thing, Bill. They're non-profits like us.
Yeah.
Exactly. That call yesterday was absolutely ridiculous. To throw the flag and then pick up the flag with no explanation, like somebody turned on the little cattle prod that was, you know, that was hidden up his ass or something.
Yeah.
I mean, you know what? Okay, so it was Dallas, and it was in Dallas. You know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of the, and it's kind of hard to find out there on the interweb tubes, but it can be found. The video footage from election night 2000.
Yes.
When they called Florida for Al Gore, and Jeb, and they had the live shot back at the Texas governor's mansion, and they just showed Jeb looking at George, shaking his head no. I mean, I can't remember what the Cowboys receiver. See, I told the now. See, when, listen, you people who send emails and gripe when we talk about football, pay attention. There's always a connection, okay? But it did remind me of that. And the fact of the matter is, I don't remember the name of the defensive back for the Cowboys, but he wasn't even remotely trying to look toward at the ball, find the ball, defend against the ball, and the ball was catchable. It's not like it was 10 yards over his head and 15 yards past. It was catchable, and he ran and he had his hands all over the receiver and ran straight through him. And the
look out for the money involved.
Well, and I mean, when Troy Aikman says it was clearly interference, and you know, there's no bigger.
Troy was a good quarterback for Dallas, wasn't he?
Right, right. And there's no bigger Dallas fanboy than Troy.
Yep.
Then you get a pretty good idea that it was. There is no way that flag gets picked up if that game being played in Detroit. I don't think there's any way that flag gets picked up anywhere but the Jerry Jones Taj Mahal Stadium. Because they may have the biggest on-site jail in the NFL, but they don't have a big enough one to handle the riot that would have transpired.
Home fans can be. I know the Cleveland Browns fans snowballing the officials one time and throwing beer bottles too. It's. I went to those games. One of the first game I went to was in 1956. I was 13 years old, and my neighbor, who was a Korean War vet, he says, "Come on, I'm gonna take you." And then after that, I went with the guy from the Catholic Big Brothers. 58 and 59, I saw every home game there was, and we sat in a, what we call the bleachers, what later became the dog pound. It's all a big promotion. And you know, the guy who owns the team now, his brother is governor of Tennessee, is he not?
Yeah, yeah. Haslam?
Yeah. And Mr. Haslam's had some problems with the law about the truck stops that he owns.
Right.
Don't ask me what it is, but there was something involved there.
Oh, just, right. You know, you're...
I haven't been over to his house for lunch lately, so...
Oh, you missed...
Well, I'm not as sharp as I used to be, you know?
Yeah, you missed the chilled lobster vinaigrette salad?
I mean...
Damn. No, you haven't been over there with the little shrimp forks and the lobster salad and stuff like... Oh, what's that Haslam thinking?
Yeah, well, my doctor, I used to play jobs at my MD's house, and he had a lobster bake. I don't really like lobster that much, but I had some shrimp last week, and it must have been old when I bought it, because you don't know what you're getting in these stores. And man, was I a little sick to my stomach. Then I'm still waiting for the choppers so I can get probably, except for the amount of salt in some of the soups that come in cans, you know?
Yeah.
Who does the basic cooking? You and Agnes both?
I prefer to do my cookery where there's danger involved, you know, an open flame or something like that, but. I made a big pot of Hoppin' John for New Year's, and Ferg.
What the hell is Hoppin' John? Tell me, please.
Okay, Hoppin' John is basically black-eyed peas, and I add celery, some basmati rice, and some wild rice. And
that's good. Not the wild rice.
Used a little salsa verde on the side for seasoning, and you know, it's good. It's good luck food for New Year's. And Ferg looked at me today and said, "Dad, I can't eat any more Hoppin' John. I'm all hopped out. I'm all Hoppin' Johned out. We'll just, you know, we'll what because I think I made a lot."
Well, it's, you know, I had a guy stop over the other day, and just his family was from Hungary in 1956-7. You know, when they had the revolution against the communists there.
Yes.
And his wife and he stopped by, and she's Polish, and he's Hungarian, and she brought collards.
Ooh,
which I have not had years.
Oh, collard greens. Yeah, wow.
Oh, yeah. Excellent. And then a ham, Polish ham, which is very good.
Ooh, that sounds yummy.
And macaroni and cheese, and I hated macaroni and cheese when I was a kid. Because the place, the school I was living at, they didn't cook it, they vulcanized it, you know, it's a different. You like that, huh?
Yeah, they incinerated it.
There. Yeah, it was, oh, those days it was, oh. And then one of my buddy's father was a, in the fruit business, he used to bring something in called that he referred to as a Chinese apple. Do you know what the hell they were talking about?
Is it one of those, I don't know, was it a Fuji apple? I mean...
No, it might have been, it had a tough skin, and it looked like one of those engineering feasts to sit down and eat it. What I'm really waiting to try is one of the Cavalier Shins. Opened a New Orleans-style place on the west side of Cleveland, and he brought a chef up. And we had one in Lake County that was serving New Orleans-style food, but it was black-owned and black, you know, service. And people out there wouldn't eat it after all. You know, how can you eat if those people touch it? Yeah, right. And so much for people's lack of intellect, Bob. But I'll clear the phone lines because I know people are anxious to talk and following Baker Company, that's a tough act to follow. Anyhow, you take care of yourself and we'll be in touch.
All right, you take it easy, Bill. It's good to hear from you.
Take care now.
Bye now. Our buddy Bill, Mr. Stress, legendary bluesman from Cleveland, having just celebrated his birthday in scant minutes after midnight on January the 1st. 27 minutes past the hour, I should note that we remain, or not remain, I need to extend thanks to Robert in Morgantown. We are at $90 to go in fundraising for this evening. We try to raise $150 per program, and well, we are 9 people at $10 apiece, 2 at $45, 3 at $30, 10 at $9 apiece, you know, 6 at $15. However you want to split it up, that's, you know, where we are. And it would be nice to keep things squared up, if you will. All right, let's go see. I think we've got Jim from Louisiana Stan. Is that you, Jim?
Yeah, what's up, Bob?
What's happening?
Oh, I'm messing at the nuts there.
Oh, you got the Palmans?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Are they? They are, in fact, yummy. Are they not?
Yes, they are.
Can you imagine what Paul from Parts Unknown does? I don't know how he does it. Peeling. I mean, there's tons and tons of almonds there, and they're all peeled, and he peels them.
Well, I don't know how either, because almonds, kind of almond shells, yeah. Well, any shells get to be a pain in the neck to peel.
Yeah, never mind the shells, it's the peeling, because little almonds, you know, almonds have little skins on them. But, we sit and, well, there's generally a little bit of friendly family violence over the tin of Palmans, because there's nobody in this family that doesn't just love them.
Yeah, well, I'm keeping mine hidden. I would buy myself, so.
smart man indeed. Well, what's happening?
I was just thinking, you're talking about Bush Airport in Dallas or something like that.
No, the airport in Houston.
In Houston, well, yeah, Dallas is whatever. I forgot, yeah. But it's just kind of, and then it made me just start thinking, it's kind of eerie the way this country is becoming Orwellianized with the way the name of public buildings, you know, Reagan Airport, I think every state in the country has some building named after Reagan. And then you just put it out, Bush Airport in Houston.
Well, I'm still waiting for him to rename. There's a building in Parkersburg, West Virginia, Jim, that I think needs to be named after George W. Bush.
What building is that?
It would be the George W. Bush Bureau of the Public Debt.
Because, that'd be good.
Because that's the place that he went back during the Reign of Error and pointed and said, "Hey, I just came over here to see that filing cabinet where they keep all those worthless IOUs."
Because
there's this little thing, the Constitution, and it's got a passage in it, Jim, that says that no one shall question the validity of the public debt, and the President of the United States called them worthless IOUs.
He was one of the most worthless people to ever hold that office. Yeah, my way of thinking. I mean, to think that was even close enough for them to steal the election, it's just, you know, sin sometimes. And then that was supposed to be folksy or something. And I realized he wasn't really running a
Leave the Chinese event through the locked door. You remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah.
And then there's something that very few people saw because it was on like 4 o'clock in the morning. It was a live feed of our president who claimed not to drink doing vodka shots with Vladimir Putin in some palace in St. Petersburg.
Oh, wow. I wish I'd seen that. Yeah. That's the born-again Christians. And then the other weird thing is Bush 3. You know, so we talked months ago about the Roman Empire, and it just ended up being all in the family. The families, a couple of families, and it seems like this country's going this way. I mean, Bush 3, it could be a Bush 3 president or a Clinton 2 president, you know. And I'm not too crazy about, I got my Bush, forget it. Hillary, I'm not too crazy about.
It feels a little like Empire. Who am I kidding? It feels a lot like Empire, Jim.
Exactly. It's like Roald Dahl wrote in, 1980? It was 80, 81, wrote a book on that. And I just didn't see it coming. It's just so in your face, and you can't even point it out to people. It's so obvious. Well, you can, but it's pointless. Maybe they're just too busy trying to keep your job.
Just just hanging on.
Yeah, I did see an interesting video. There's one of my father's rebuttal to NBC back in, I guess it was 68, where they were sort of in his office, and he got about a half hour. If I get a copy of it, maybe I'll tell him, I'll figure out a way to get it over to you.
Oh, I'd love that.
But he just, that's at 68, and you know what he's talking about, things have not changed. They have gotten so much more, so much worse. I say more worse, but that's bad English. That's incorrect. But things have just gotten worse. It's just, it's not even funny. They don't even pretend to obey the rule of law. And I'm not a law turning thing, but I know a little bit about it. And it seems to me it's just, they just make it up as they go along, you know.
That's about the size of it.
Yeah, and then, like I said, man, it's just so intense. So I'll definitely get a copy of that shit to you or something.
Oh, I would absolutely love to see that.
So I got NBC to give me a half hour, and put just tore them apart, boom, 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 boom. And that's kind of like when you're dealing with an attorney who knows what they're doing. You don't really want to get into an argument with them because they don't know how to, even if they're wrong, they can make it seem like they're right. But if they're right, they really are caught, you know? So, yeah, that's what's going on. And this is the first part of your show to get the filibuster part. What was that basically about? Because I don't think it gets it after the lawyer.
Oh, yeah, it's too much to even attempt to explain. It was a joyful little rant about, the stupid that infects these hills and hollers, Jim.
Well, it's all over, Bob.
And understand. Levels. I was going to say, and understand, it's the same stupid that infects the bayous and back bays.
Oh, I call it the proud to be stupid.
Same.
Well, that's the way my daddy did it. Well, maybe daddy was stupid about that. You know?
Maybe daddy was a dumbass.
Yeah.
Don't talk about daddy.
Yeah.
You know, if you talk about mama, we're going to have to fight.
Yeah. It's just, it is one of them that gets into, you know, they can get into religion. Well, but we're 6th, 7th, 8th generation, this church or that church, and, well, we're Christian. We're going to be good for you. Not going to get anybody Catholic who's listening.
Yeah, right. And that's what you, well, well, how nice for you.
But that's okay. And how did you come about this? Well, I was born into it. Well, aren't you special? So all the other religions are BS. Even the Protestants. Of course, the Protestants are crazy.
No, we're the biggest
heretics.
Well,
wait,
we, I used to be one. Terrible heretics.
No, well, I mean, I was to practice Buddhism. You know, I did my little Nami Horinge Kyo, but I chose it. I read some of the stuff. I go to shows and practicing cool. You know, got Alan Watts influence and I got into it. I practiced it for about 5 years, and then it just seemed to be the more you got. Kind of get into it, or the more.
Did you just get bored?
Dogmatic.
Did you just get bored?
Yeah, and it got dogmatic, and then it got superstitious. Well, if you don't do growing, and something bad happens, that's kind of why it happened. Or if something good happens, that's why something good happened. And it's just got a little bit too dogmatic for me. My rational brain couldn't take it anymore. I was about 20. Plus years ago, 30 years ago. So,
and that's the I think I lack the patience for religion. I just do.
Well, I kind of maybe it was kind of the Alan Watts. I read some of his books, and they seem Zen kind of cool than Buddhism. And Taoism, the workhorse way, that book I mentioned before, that I don't forget show, the philosophy, you know, that seems pretty cool. And, Christianity, but then when you get down, they've got the same dogmatic crap going on in Japan and different parts of the East where those religions are predominant. I mean, there was a thing on the Law Show 16 months ago about they were killing Muslims. I forgot why, but, you know, creating the Nirvana-like state, you know, or whatever. So, illusion. I broke through it about, I don't know, 30 years ago, 20, I'm getting up there. And,
well, you know, for me, the way that I was introduced to Buddhism was in a philosophy department class, and I was introduced to it not with all the bells and whistles, you know, and the prayer thing spanning, and I was introduced to Zen Buddhism as an existential way of understanding reality. It really resonated with me, but it doesn't. It resonated because in the form in which I understood it, it was actually very decidedly unreligious. And again, you mentioned Alan Watt, you know, what was it? T.D. Suzuki, was that his name?
And
understanding it from a point of view not of this is some sort of mystical understanding, but that rather this is a way to understand, well, you know, an existential philosophy.
Right. Well, that's kind of what I thought I was getting into, but that, like I said, after 5 years, and you're giving it the benefit of the doubt, you keep dawned on me that religion is basically just a form of OCD, obsessive compulsive disorder. Because if you say these words, nothing bad will happen to you. You know, I'm talking about all religions, because basically there's prayer, silent meditation, and I know TM works for a lot of people, and or some people, and I guess so does Zazen, other different forms of, I don't know, maybe recite the rosary works for other people, but as far as like some magical, mystical power protecting you, that's balderdash to me.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Well, Jim, you have yourself a very good evening. I hope your New Year is off to a good start, and I hope this freeze and snap doesn't get down as far as you are.
I'm out on the back porch. It's a little nippy, but ain't that bad. I took it in a handful of nothing to warm up some of the almonds I got. Because I'm not brassing them down. Because I can just chill them all down, but I've learned it's better to do.
Moderation in all things. What would the Buddha say?
Yeah.
The Buddha'd say, give me some of them palmins. That's what the Buddha'd say. I'll be over here under the lotus tree. I'll distract the cobra for you long enough to bring the nuts over.
That's it.
Hey, Jim, have a good evening.
All right. You too, bro.
All right. Bye now. Our buddy, Jim, from Louisiana Stan. And we are about 15 minutes to go in the program this evening. And, yeah, we are still $90 away from our fundraising goal for the evening. I should mention something, just because it is, it really does mark kind of the close of an era. Edward Brooke passed away on January the 3rd. Edward Brooke was a Republican. He was also a member of the United States Senate from the Commonwealth of Massachusetts and a colleague of Senator Edward M. Kennedy. He served from 1967 to 1979. And for people of a certain age, you might recall that once upon a time there were these people that were called liberal Republicans. Edward Brooke was a liberal Republican. He was well thought of by the Americans for Democratic Action, the League of Conservation Voters. And he was a black man. He died at the age of 95. And in a way, his passing marks, well, it's not the end of an era. The era ended a while back. But let's put it this way. I doubt you will see any obituaries being promulgated across the right-wing nutosphere. Because he really was. It's hard for some people to believe, but there was a time in this country when there were Republicans who were liberal. To give you an idea of how liberal he was, he once received a rating of 3. From an outfit called the American Conservative Union. That happens to be the same score that they gave to Ted Kennedy. He was a friend and colleague of Jacob Javits, Clifford Case, Lowell Weicker, Chuck Mathias. He wrote in his memoir, which is called Bridging the Divide. When I arrived in the Senate, the moderate so-called Rockefeller Republicans held the balance of power. The Democrats were in the majority, but their Southern members usually opposed civil rights and other progressive legislation. Often only by forging alliances with Republicans could the Democrats pass their progressive agenda. I was entirely comfortable reaching across the Senate aisle to work with Democrats. Now that is something that would get Edward Brooke called a rhino these days. Remember, the birthers, deathers, tenthers, booger eaters, birchers, libertarians, and Republicans generally, a great number of them think that John Boehner is a liberal. And that is why the emperor of asparagus, Louis Gohmert, is running for speaker against him. Brooke also wrote, the polarization of Congress, the decline of civility, and the rise of attack politics in the 1980s and 1990s and the early years of the new century are a blot on our political system and a disservice to the American people. Who brought us that? Yeah. Who introduced the term ratfuck into American parlance? Who gave us Willie Horton gonna get your mama? Hint. It was not Democrats. So, think kindly. Think kindly of Edward Brooke having passed away at the age of 95. And think kindly of a time when there really were such things as liberal Republicans. Yep, Chug-a-Punch in the chat room. Lee Atwater. You know it. So, 10 minutes before the hour. Oh, goodness me, goodness me. I mentioned this earlier in conversation. Chris Christie. Now, you know one of the deep thinkers over at Fox News TV Radio Rwanda, and you really didn't think you were going to get away with a Moran Monday with no Fox News TV Radio Rwanda. One of the deep thinkers one of the young twits of is Andrea Tanteros. This is the same woman who told us that, Eric Holder runs the Department of Justice like the Black Panthers. And you heard it mentioned earlier that none other than Chris Christie was in the owner's box at Jerry Jones's Taj Mahal in Dallas. Well, this, this is just a beautiful, it was a beautiful moment. Dallas scored the go-ahead winning touchdown. And Jerry Jones was up and hooting and hollering around, and there was poor Chris Christie trying to get a high five. Nobody'd high five him. And Jerry's trying to hug one of his buddies, and Chris Christie just goes in for the third man hug. And it was kind of sad and pitiful. But none of this played well with, we should have saved her for Titanic Tuesday, but no. With towering intellect, Andrea Tanteros, who wants to engage in a little bit of, shall we say, not armchair quarterbacking, but armchair psychoanalysis. Take it away, Andrea.
Well, New Jersey Governor Chris Christie in some hot water today after he was caught on camera enthusiastically celebrating a playoff victory by the Dallas Cowboys in the owner's skybox. The Cowboys are a long-standing rival of the New York Giants, a team favored by most football fans in New Jersey, and the Philadelphia Eagles, who are also popular in South Jersey. Now, some say the scene could threaten Christie's presidential ambitions, but his brother defended the governor on Facebook, saying, quote, to all of those non-Cowboy fans who have their panties in a ringer because the governor of New Jersey is a Cowboys fan, get a life! Eagles fans, possibly you should worry more about the fact that you're sorry...
Didn't you love the panties reference? It's not real right-wingery. Unless there's a little bit of misogyny involved, because, yeah, right, you know, if you don't love the Cowboys, you wear panties. And that's men and women of both, right? Yeah, right.
blank team has never won a Super Bowl, and less about who's rooting for which team. I mean crazy, pathetic posts. So he was directing that right to me here because I have to say, Jedediah, I saw the man hug. Not once, but twice, and the jumping up and down.
Jedediah? Really? There's a Jedediah on Fox News TV, Radio Rwanda? Is there a Lemuel? I remember that great bit from the Harvard Lampoon send-up of many years back of USA Today, the TV listings, Amish and Impossible, A-M-I-S-H. Jedediah and Lemuel refuse to answer the even telephone and therefore miss out on another adventure. Jedediah. No, really.
And I looked on Twitter, a lot of Giants fans and Eagles fans said, offended. How could you do this? But his brother said, well, he's always liked the Cowboys. Let him go.
I actually like him more for this because it shows loyalty to his team. I mean, he's not going to give up his team. Anyone knows, look, I'm from New York. I like
Oh, okay, it's a loyalty thing. Anybody? The pathetic nobody? What about the pathetic nobody will high-five Chris Christie?
The Chicago Bulls. Why do I like the Chicago Bulls? Because I wanted to be a rebel when I was younger, and my dad liked the Knicks, and it was a little, like, family feud we had going on. But I'm not going to abandon my team. If I chose to run for office in New York, I'd be supporting the Bulls. You got to stand by your team. I give him a lot of credit. Go Chris Christie. He's not back in there.
Well,
yeah, because you know what? Somebody's going to run for mayor in New York and say, you know what I am? I'm a Cubs fan. That's what I... No. What I'm looking for, I'm looking for the guy or woman who runs for mayor of New York and says, I'm a Sox fan. Yeah, a Red Sox fan. Yeah, absolutely.
You know, Shannon, there has been a complicated past when it comes to sports and politics.
Yeah.
Remember Rudy Giuliani on the eve of the New Hampshire primary? It was a World Series. He came out and said he liked the Red Sox, which is like the death knell for Yankees fans.
Yeah.
Rudy was a lifelong Yankees fan. I mean, he didn't win the primary, and he didn't win the presidency. But does your sports team and loyalty to it matter?
I think it's very touchy for politicians because I think it's a way for them to seem more like a real person. I'm with you. I'm one of you. But it can backfire because you think about a few years ago when President Obama was asked, you're such a huge Chicago White Sox fan. Who was your favorite player growing up? And he kind of hemmed and hawed and said, well, I was a Cubs fan, too. And then he said Kaminsky Park instead of Kaminsky Park. I think people can catch you there. If you have a genuine allegiance.
Yeah.
Like
we'll see. But that's only because he's a Kenyan Muslim, you slurper. With a deep-seated hatred of white people. Well, you know, we remember back when Jeb Bush nodded his head, so I guess we to tell George that the fix was in Florida. So I guess it's okay that they remember it, right? Yeah. Oh, by the way, who was my favorite baseball player growing up? Johnny Bench. Okay, it's that easy.
Governor Christie, maybe that's legit, but man, if you don't get it exactly right, true fans will sniff you out in a second.
What about your performance in sports, Harris? Because you remember the infamous
soft-handed
mom jeans President Obama.
Right.
Remember that one?
Viking
that
helmet.
Was unfortunate, but he was already in office, so he didn't have to worry about it.
Really? That's where this is going? I thought this was about Chris Christie.
Got it. I have a few things to say about that too tight red sweater, but we don't have time for that. My comments come exclusively via my friend Greta Van Susteren.
Yes.
She emailed me during the segment, by
the way.
She says, don't forget in 2004, John Kerry made the huge mistake of calling Lambeau Field Lambert Field.
Oh,
oops.
There you
no
go.
One in Wisconsin has ever forgotten that, and it's been 10 years. So if Chris Christie runs for president in 2016 and wants to win the Wisconsin primary, he better cheer for the Packers this Sunday, not the Cowboys. Go, Greta.
Greta's watching. Is the bigger issue here maybe not his disloyalty?
No, Chris Christie needs Texas a hell of a lot more than he needs Wisconsin. Let's understand this.
...to the Giants or the Eagles, but his problem with aggressive man hugs. Because Chris Christie...
Aggressive man hugs. We're finally getting there. Aggressive man hugs? So now I guess... Listen, Fagoots. Don't be man hugging, okay? Because it grosses out Andrea Tanteros.
Giants or the Eagles, but his problem with aggressive man hugs. Because Chris Christie seems to aggressively manhandle the president.
Ooh.
He's aggressively man hugging the owner of the Cowboys. Are all of these aggressive man hugs pointing to much deeper?
Wait, if it was a delicate little hug, they'd be calling them sissy Fagoot hugs. Well, there is that too, Carol. Aren't aggressive man hugs just a form of sexual assault? Maybe when Chris Christie's involved.
Yeah, it may be so.
Let's watch it again.
Thank you for getting off of that. I think the more likely reaction is.
Don't say get off when you, Lou Dobbs, when you're talking about aggressive Chris Christie man hugs. Don't do that. Bad form. Oh, let's get out of here. That's it for More in Monday. Thank you very, very kindly to Jay Cruzan, who just finished off our fundraising for this evening. So that means we'll go squarely into Titanic Tuesday. Okay. Thank you very much to Jay Cruzan and to Robert in Morgantown. Thank you to Gerald, and thank you to Asa, and thank you to Grant for bringing you this evening's program. So thank you also to our all volunteer staff. Oh, okay. I have to say it. Wait. So when Jay Cruzan finished off fundraising, and I just got a message from him saying, "Say it." Sure I will. The message coming with Jay Cruzan finishing off fundraising for us was, "Go Cowboys!" All caps, lots of exclamation points. Okay. I said it, Jake Cruzan. Did you hear that? I said it. And, yes, thanks to our all-volunteer staff, Lottie and Sparky and Texas Betsy in the chat room, moderators. Thank you to our news ninjas, Gene and Susan and Carol Baker. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks always go out to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, and ACACT, ACHEACT.org. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Good night, y'all.